Hello and welcome to KETR's Locker Room, the one and only sports podcast for Northeast Texas. I'm Cooper Welch, and here with me are our hosts, Ryan Billups and Taylor Phelps. We've also got a special guest with us this week, Coach Snyder of the A&M Commerce track team. We're going to talk a little bit with him about his bio, ask him some questions about his time here at A&M Commerce, and then, of course, go into the rapid-fire section. We'll also talk Oscars of sports. We had the Oscars on Sunday night. A little bit of drama there, I understand. Not much of an Oscar guy myself, but we're going to do the sports version of that. Then we'll talk Mavericks, of course, and college basketball. But first, let's start off with Coach Snyder. Coach Snyder, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, to begin with, I'm from Missouri originally. Grew up in St. Louis and then moved to Kirksville, Missouri, which is in the northeast part of the state. And my dad was a track and field coach at the college level.
Okay.
So with him moving to that school, we went along with him, obviously.
Right.
And I went to Northeast Missouri State University, where he coached. And it's now called Truman State University. And
okay.
It's a Division II school, like Commerce. And had the opportunity to play or participate in cross country and track during my time there at the college level, which
okay.
was a great experience. And I think with my dad being a coach, that got me interested in coaching. And so I kind of followed in his footsteps. You know, as far as I guess the timeline of where I've been coaching wise, I started at the high school level in Missouri in St. Louis, coached there for a couple of years, and then went to Oklahoma State University as an assistant coach, went back to my alma mater, coached there for a year, and then went to the University of Wisconsin-Platteville, which is a Division III institution,
right.
coached there for 3 years, and then moved to a conference rival, University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, was there for 10 years, and then have made the move down here to Texas and here at A&M Commerce.
All right. Well, you've been here for a few years. First, tell us what drew you to Commerce.
Well, I think there's a lot of potential here, you know, and I think that the opportunity is available to build a great program. You know, when everybody goes to recruit in track and field, they're going to Texas, they're going to California, they're going to Florida. So we have a great recruiting background right in our backyard, and that's a tremendous advantage. So the athletes are here. It's just a matter of getting them here and getting more and more of them and building your program to where hopefully we can compete for a conference championship and a national championship.
Okay.
Coach,
so,
Coach, from the time you've gotten here until now, what do you think has changed the most?
Well, you know, number one, just the campus has changed a lot. There's been a lot of new building, you know, on campus, and changed the look of the campus tremendously. I think there's more opportunities educationally here on campus now than what there were a few years ago. And I think now we have the opportunity with our athletic programs to really change as well and hopefully get caught up with other schools around the country and get ahead of a lot of schools, you know, around the country as well here in the next few years.
So you talked about wanting to get ahead. What would you say your biggest goal is while you're here?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, we want to win a conference championship and we want to win a national championship. And that's what we're shooting for. And we've improved each year in track and field since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking to improve again this year and just keep moving on up the ladder, you know, till we get to that top spot. And it's not an easy process. It does take time. You have to have patience. But as long as you are improving, it's very rewarding. And we will get there eventually.
What's the most important thing you tell parents of recruits and current athletes when they're considering A&M Commerce?
Well, I think when you're recruiting, number one, you have to be honest. You know, I think that that's first and foremost. You know, one of the things that is important in us building our program is that, number one, we're looking for the best people we can possibly get. And that's first and foremost. And you know, good people have a lot of those traits and characteristics that you're looking for in both a student and an athlete as well. And we spend so much time together in practice and traveling that, you know, we want to be with good people during that time. And I think it makes for a better situation. And so, you know, that's number one. And then secondly, you know, I tell parents and athletes that we're looking for the best students we can possibly get. You know, we don't want a revolving door type policy where kids are coming in for, you know, a semester or for a year and then, you know, leaving our program, leaving school. We want them to be here for 4 or 5 years, you know, get that degree and then go on to do great things, you know, after college. And hopefully contribute back to the university in our program once they leave. And then also, you know, once again, good students have a lot of those traits and characteristics that you're looking for in a good athlete or great athlete, whether it be time management skills, dedication, perseverance, all those things and more add up to being a good athlete. So if you have it as a student, hopefully there's carryover value there, and you'll have it as an athlete as well. And then third and most obviously, we're looking for the best athletes we can possibly get.
Right.
So I tell those parents and those athletes that it's person, student, athlete, and if you have those attributes and characteristics of being good in all those areas, then you'll be a good fit for our program, and you'll help move our program forward.
Okay.
Coach, every week we do a section – kind of like our most controversial section of the week. In your opinion, are steroids harmful to sports?
Yes, without a doubt. You know, I think it damages the individual. We don't know the long-term effects, you know, of what could possibly happen to a person that takes steroids. We know some things, and they're all negative. And so I think for the individual, it's really a bad thing. And, you know, obviously as a coach, that's what you're concerned about. You're concerned about those individuals, you know, that you work with, those that are in your sport. And so I don't see anything good that comes from taking steroids. And I think it's damaging to the sports as well. I think in our particular sport, track and field, you know, it has really, really hurt our sport at the college level and especially at the international level. And you don't know who's really and truly that great athlete, you know, that is performing and doing all the right things and is genuine as an athlete, or who that person is, you know, that's taking steroids and getting that extra advantage.
So would you say that eliminating steroids from college track would even out the playing field a little bit more?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
What would you say, like, people like, we heard Lance Armstrong say that he doesn't think he could have won without steroids. What would be your spill on that as far as athletes?
You know, he might be right. You know, I think it was so pervasive, I guess, in cycling that, you know, he probably had to take it, you know, to win. And, you know, I think a lot of people feel that way in other sports as well. You know, I think in track and field, you know, at that Olympic level, international level, there's a lot of people think that if I'm going to win the 100 meters, I've got to be on steroids. I've got to be on an even playing field with those other athletes, you know, that are taking part in that.
Right. Well, we like to end our discussion with our guests in a big, goofy, rapid-fire segment. So that's what we're going to go into right now. All right, Coach. First, we got to ask you, what's your favorite movie?
Well, that's a tough one. I got so many good ones that I like. Shawshank Redemption.
Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, that's good. Would you rather drive or fly?
Drive.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Oh, man. I'll go with vanilla.
Okay.
Simple man.
Breakfast for dinner or cold pizza for breakfast?
Oh, let's go with cold pizza for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Would you rather read or watch a movie?
Oh, I think I'd rather read.
Okay. Coach, what's your favorite band?
Favorite band? Aerosmith.
Okay. Favorite song?
let's go with Walk This Way.
Okay.
Biggest inspiration? Could be an athlete or anyone.
I think my grandfather and my dad, my father.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
When you were growing up, what did you want to be?
Probably a forest ranger or a baseball player, professional baseball player.
Okay. Steak or pizza?
Pizza.
Okay.
Sausage or bacon?
Bacon.
Golf or bowling?
Oh, that's a tough one. Bowling, I guess. I'll go with bowling.
Okay. Okay, this one's a little out there. Would you rather die quickly and painfully or slow but painless?
Let's go slow but painless.
Yeah, okay. That's what I would say. Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise?
Tom Hanks.
If you had to choose Lethal Weapon or Die Hard?
Lethal Weapon.
Okay. Would you rather watch a game on TV or at the stadium?
At the stadium.
Okay.
All right, we just had the Oscars, so who's your favorite actor or actress?
How about Clint Eastwood?
Mm. Okay.
Okay, Fox News or CNN?
Fox News.
All right. Three things you'd take out of a burning building.
My family, my baseball card collection.
Okay.
All my hunting gear.
Okay.
If you weren't a track coach, what job do you think you'd choose?
I'd like to coach another sport. Maybe manage a baseball team or a basketball team, something like that. Coach
fun.
A football team. So I think coach another sport.
Coach, I'm not sure if you watch either of these, but if you had to choose American Idol or Dancing with the Stars?
I've got to admit, I don't watch either one of them.
Okay. Well, that's all right. You just made it through our rapid-fire questions, so we're going to take a very quick commercial break, but we will come back. You're listening to KETR's Locker Room.
You took her to college. She took you back and forth to work each day, and she took the whole family on vacation last year. Ah, she was a good car, a reliable car, but now it's time to say goodbye. A great way to honor her memory is by donating that car to KETR. You not only get a tax receipt, but you can feel good knowing that your station will use the funds to provide quality programming for Northeast Texas. Call 855-KETR-123 to schedule an appointment or visit KETR.org.
Hi, it's Diane Rehm. Delighted that the Diane Rehm Show is now heard across Northeast Texas on KETR. Join me here weekday mornings at 9 for perspectives on issues affecting your world. Have a question you want answered? Join the conversation by phone, email, Facebook, or Twitter. The Diane Rehm Show, weekday mornings at 9 on 88.9 KETR.
Hello and welcome back to KETR's Locker Room. Coach Schneider had to get on back to track practice, but we're still here.
That's right.
Cooper Welch, Taylor Phelps, and Ryan Billups. All right, in this segment, because this last Sunday was the Oscars, we're going to talk the Oscars of sports, guys. So let's start off with best costume design, or for sports, best uniform.
That's an easy one for me. I have to go with the Oregon Ducks.
Okay. I don't know if a lot of people have seen this or noticed it, but I'm going to go with the Christmas Day NBA uniforms.
Okay.
I like that. The Heat, the Knicks, the Lakers, the Thunder, they all had pretty unique uniforms. I liked the outline, the stitching. I thought it was a very job well done.
Real simple, but
still different.
It was super
cool.
I think I'm going to have to stay with Oregon as well.
Man, Nike did a great job.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that they have 80 combinations of uniforms, like, you can't not like something that they do.
Well, the fact, wasn't it the Nike president, didn't he go to Oregon?
Yeah.
And so he
pretty much lives on that uniform.
And Nike was started at Oregon
by
the track coach there.
Yeah.
Bill Bowerman started Nike, so.
So, definitely, Oregon's got a one-up on everybody else just because they've got that Nike advantage.
Even their basketball uniforms are changed every game.
Yeah.
Track uniforms, it's pretty ridiculous down there.
It'd be pretty cool to be a player on one of those teams.
I think so, too.
You think that would be such a recruiting advantage.
Yeah.
To be able to, hey, I got all these uniforms.
Look at all these awesome uniforms.
They have great facilities, too.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk the next one, best comeback story. What do you guys think?
I have Adrian Peterson as the best comeback story.
Okay.
Coming off ACL.
he comes within 9 yards of breaking the all-time single-season rushing record.
Nine yards
short of breaking the all-time record, coming off a major knee surgery. I think that's just incredibly impressive, the time span that he was able to come back. And
right.
He's got to be my comeback.
It's very hard to disagree with that. What he did was ridiculous. I'd like to see what Derrick Rose does when he comes back.
I think he could be the comeback story next year.
A great comeback story as well. Peyton Manning was a big one, but I mean, you got to give it to Adrian Peterson, like you said, 9 yards from breaking the all-time rushing record.
Right.
That's hard to do without coming off a knee surgery, and the way he came back was. But you might want to say Ray Lewis within a season with the tricep injury.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I would say, well, give or take deer antler spray. I think Ray Lewis is my comeback story, coming back from that biceps tear in the middle of the season and then winning a Super Bowl. I mean, that's
impressive.
Just insane. The amount of tackles he had in the playoffs, 12 tackles in one game, 13 tackles in another game. I mean, that's just insane. No matter who you are, no matter if you are taking performance-enhancing drugs, that's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Adrian Peterson, though. He did what he did on a team that can't throw the ball. Teams were stacking 8 men in the box.
Yeah, they knew he was going to run.
They know he's going to run it, and they still couldn't stop him. Mm-hmm. They don't. No one's worried about the Minnesota Vikings passing attack.
Yeah.
And so I think that makes it that much more impressive.
Just imagine if he'd been on the Texans.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
golly. That would have been really impressive. All right. One of you guys want to talk the next category?
Yeah. Next up, we're going to have Best Supporting Actor.
Okay.
What this means basically is you're underappreciated member of a team, someone whose value isn't seen as brightly as some of the bigger stars.
Okay.
You want to go ahead and go, Billups?
Yeah, I have Justin Smith from the 49ers.
Okay.
What he did last year coming off an injury, but also just when he was injured, the team's numbers rose dramatically. Like, when he was healthy, they I think it was three points a quarter, and when he wasn't healthy, it was 7 points a quarter.
Right.
I mean, that's a huge difference. That's a difference of 28 points a game to 12 points a game. That's a guy who doesn't get a lot of respect, but man, he helps that team out a lot.
Okay.
I might say Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow.
As far as never getting really the opportunity or the chance, very underappreciated, not just by. I think he's appreciated by fans. I think by the management, he's underappreciated than
but,
he really is.
But this is more like still is supporting the team. But
Supporting the team. So he's underappreciated in that respect. Yeah. I think if I'm going with who we underappreciate, maybe Alex Smith. Maybe we underappreciate him as an athlete now, what he did at the beginning of the season for the 49ers, because towards the end, it was all Colin Kaepernick.
And those are both guys who get tons of wins. But maybe don't put up the statistical numbers that
they're
other
winners.
Quarterback. They win games.
I think
which
Alex
is what
Smith.
You want.
I think Alex Smith is like a Joe Flacco. If I have to compare him to someone, he's just a winner, kind of a winner, and he's going to stay around and get himself in the playoffs.
I mean, he wasn't.
Back. He has a much better team.
Yeah, but now, I mean, he's really
and,
good.
And AJ McCarron's an underappreciated quarterback at Alabama. A lot of people just say who he's got around him, but he put up great numbers in the national.
He's got
championship
2 championship rings.
That's right.
And those are all guys who when you compare them to the best quarterbacks, their stats look horrible.
Right. Well, Joe Flacco.
You look at their win-loss, and they blow people off the waters, and that's what really matters.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go either with Chris Bosh or A.J. McCarron, like you're saying. Chris Bosh has been such a silent player. He just does work.
And he takes so much flack from media.
And compared to the rest of his team, like, he's not mentioned. You never hear about him going out and partying. I mean, you don't really hear about LeBron or Dwayne either. But you don't hear anything about his social life. You don't hear. I mean, he's the Tim Duncan of the Miami Heat.
And he's homegrown.
Yeah, he's from Dallas. So we raise him right.
Maybe we can get him back here.
Maybe. We'll see what happens.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think he'll leave the Heat anytime soon. Unless they really don't appreciate
him. I've heard from people who know him that he said he never wants to come to Dallas.
Okay.
So
that's a little sad.
I don't see it happening.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next one. What do we got, Taylor?
Best Supporting Actress. Which is the same, underappreciated member of a team. And actresses, as far as sports, aren't really as well known. But I'm going to go with Serena's sister, who, while she is enormously successful, just as her sister, she doesn't get the same appreciation as her sister does, and is not known as the, she's just not Serena, and that's what, she's Serena's sister, and that's a,
back in the day, she had more championships than Serena did, but
and
then
Serena
age caught
still,
up to her.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Odyssey Sims of the Lady Baylor Bears.
That's pretty out there. I don't even know that name.
She leads the team in assists and second in scoring behind Brittany Griner. Obviously, Brittany Griner is getting all the press.
Of course.
No,
greatest college women's basketball player in a long time. But she's not scoring if she doesn't have someone like this outside shooting the ball, getting her the ball inside.
Yeah.
Odyssey Sims.
I think I'm going to have to go the entire U.S. women's soccer team, because they are not appreciated at all. But compared to the men's soccer team, I mean, they're amazing.
And their history.
Their history. They have so many championships. So they've been so consistently good for so long, and yet we're still more about the men's soccer team than we are about
them.
And
soccer is a sport I would like to see take over. Yeah. Not take over, but be more,
popularity.
Be more popular in America. I love
but
watching soccer.
It's only going to become more popular if the men somehow win a World Cup.
It has
and that's
to be
not going
to
happen
and
anytime
they are
soon.
So far away.
Yeah, that's not anywhere close. But that's a whole other story. Let's keep going. All right, best actor on a team. So this could, and this doesn't have to be the best athlete. It can also be an athlete that actually acts like Hines Ward did in The Walking Dead or in the Dark Knight Rises. Or we could talk an athlete that acts the most on the field, or like flops like Manu Ginobili or something like that. So what's your guys?
I'm going to go with the best athlete on the planet.
Okay.
Which is LeBron James.
Of course.
I mean, he is, without a doubt, you probably could put him, raised him in any sport, and he could be the dominant player in that sport just because of his size, speed. I mean, just incredible athletic ability.
Okay.
I think basketball lends itself to the acting part because you're very invasive with the players. You can see their emotions.
Yeah.
They're not wearing a helmet or a hat like baseball and football, so you can really get what they're doing. And I'm going to go with the biggest character in basketball, which is Ron Artest. Even though...
Meta World Peace.
That's one reason why the name changed.
His name is
his history of things he's done. And while he's better, I think he means well. If you listen to this guy's interviews, this guy's crazy. He really does have, I believe he does have some kind of problem.
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, we heard about last week there was a fire in his apartment complex and police showed up and they knocked on his door and asked him to, you know, if he knew anything. And so he just came out in his Superman pajamas, I think it was, some sort of weird pajamas, and he followed him around for the next hour as they put out these fires, just walking around behind him.
And the elbow of James Harden last year.
Yeah.
It's just, he just does some things that are just outrageous, so he's definitely my
best
actor.
He's the modern-day Dennis Rodman.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with that. Okay, well, I'm going to go someone that's very infamous in Dallas. I'm going to have to go Terrell Owens, because he's still
popcorn ready.
He's not in the NFL anymore, but he's still always in the headlines.
He's lingering. Yeah.
I mean, y'all watch that show, new show. I think it's called Go On. He's an actor in that show now.
But we saw he's going to be in that new reality TV series too, the Splash thing that's on ABC. Yeah. Which I don't know how that's going to be, but that's beside the point. But I mean, he's a character. We, you know, get your popcorn ready. He's my quarterback. Like all those T.O. lines that we know. That's T.O. for you. And
he's the Ron Artest of the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. He's a bigger character to me than Meta World Peace is.
Yeah.
All right, how about best actress?
I have Brittany Griner, going back to the Lady Baylor Bears again.
Okay. Big Baylor thing today.
Yeah, she deserves respect. She's probably the greatest women's basketball player in the history, I think
better than Candace Parker.
I think so. I think she'll go to the WNBA and just set all sorts of records.
Okay.
She's absolutely incredible, and so is their team.
I'm gonna go with Serena Williams as my best actress, as opposed to Venus as my best supporting actress. Serena is very, very outgoing on the court. You'll definitely hear her if you watch her in a match. So that's one reason. And then she's also dominant in her sport. For many years, she's been one of the best women's tennis players in the world and won multiple championships. So she has both sides of the coin going for her for this award.
I'm going to have to go the teenager who beat Serena Williams this year, Sloane Stephens. She shocked the tennis world this year by beating her, and she's, I think, the youngest to beat a champion that well.
Yeah.
Here we go. The 19-year-old is the only American younger than Williams to beat the 31-year-old. Stevens, this is from an article, with a giant smile from ear to ear, won 3-6, 7-5, 6-4 against Williams in the Australian Open earlier in this year. I mean, that was, no one saw that coming, honestly. Like, ask anyone in the tennis world and they're going to say, yeah, Serena Williams is probably going to win this Open. I mean, that's just who she is, like you said. But Sloane Stephens just came out of nowhere and shocked the tennis world. She's my best actress this year. All right, Bilps, you want to introduce the next category?
Yeah, next up we have best director, which is going to be your best coach in any sport. And I have John Harbaugh. He's 54-26 as a head coach, 9-4 in the playoffs. That is absolute tremendous. And this year's Super Bowl champion.
That's true.
I'm going to go with Frank Vogel of the Indiana Pacers, which many people don't really know about him. He just took over last year as the coach and ended the season 28-18. Had a good run in the playoffs with the Pacers. The Pacers are under the radar, and they don't have superstars like the rest of the league does.
Yeah.
And I think they're second in the East right now.
They are number two right now.
Number two in the East. That, I mean, you're dealing with Boston, who still has KG, still has Paul Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with the Knicks, who have Carmelo. You're dealing with superstars in the East still.
And they beat the Heat the last two times they played them.
They beat the Heat. I think he's got something figured out, and I think he likes flying under the radar, possibly the Eastern Conference Spurs.
Okay. Well, I am going to have to go, to the chagrin of my Texas Rangers nature, I'm going to have to go Bob Melvin of the Oakland A's. He came out of nowhere and coached, well, I mean, he's been there for a while, but he coached his team to their first West title in quite a long time, AL West title in quite a long time. And, I mean, they were six games behind the Rangers with just a few games left, and they came back and beat the Rangers out. I mean, that was just a ridiculous sports story.
Broke my heart.
Definitely.
Yeah, broke all of our hearts. and even though, yes, Josh Hamilton and the hitting slumps of everyone on the Rangers had a lot to do with us losing those games, the managerial talents of Bob Melvin, I think, were more than anything what got the A's to the playoffs. I mean, he took a team that had so-so pitching, very questionable hitting lineup, and, I mean, they won the AL West, which is with the Rangers and Felix Gonzalez
they
in Seattle.
It
wasn't easy to win.
Yeah, and, I mean, blows my mind. All right, well, let's do the last category in the Oscars of sports, the best picture or your favorite sports moment of this last year.
My favorite moment has got to be, and this is a pretty funny moment, Green Bay versus Seattle. It was just a couple weeks, week three or four into the season.
Replacement refs.
And the replacement refs blew the last call of the game. They gave the touchdown to Golden Tate, and it was very obviously an interception. Green Bay should have won their game. But the reason it's my favorite moment is because 3 days later, the regular refs were back.
Right.
Mine is going to be, a lot of people forgot, the Olympics this past summer, Michael Phelps. This is probably the last time you can take any picture of him you want from those games. This is going to be the last time we really see Phelps, I believe, in a competitive setting in swimming. He's taken up golf recently, but as we've heard, he's not very good. he's won 15 golds. He won his 19th medal this summer. That's just history that we may not see repeated ever again, especially in our generation. So I would definitely take Michael Phelps as my biggest sports moment, best picture, whatever you want to call it.
Okay. I think I'm going to have to go the Super Bowl just because, I mean, the two brothers facing each other for the first time ever in a championship game.
That was awesome.
That was enough for me. But then you add in
the lights going out.
Yeah, the Ravens being up 21-0 and then the lights going out and the game completely changing and then the Ravens still winning. I mean, that was probably one of the best Super Bowls in a very long time.
You can take any. There's so many things that have happened this past year. You can take LeBron's first championship. You can take all that. But there's a lot of great moments.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our Tuesday segment of the show. Be sure to tune in again on Friday. We'll have the rest of our podcast up. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah.